Just thank you, worship team. It's always such a blessing to be led. And it's not the skill that you have, but it's the heart that we have in the team. And I just really want to, thank you guys for your faithfulness. And yeah, you're a great blessing. Just bear with me while I start up my engine. Welcome, everyone. My name's Dennis De Wet Jr. I'm thankfully not a pastor or preacher. I'm just a messenger this morning. So it's always a good thing to be, because that means that you can ask where it comes from. And I prefer to stick to the word, because it... There's not much opinion in what I want to say this morning. It's basically just something that I feel that the Lord has put on my heart to share. And I really ask and I really pray that we will receive the word in maturity. And just see it for what it is. Just bear with me while I get started. Rwanya, you can kick off there. Rwanya thinks you can take off the day because it's his birthday. just baby bottle. This morning, my sermon's entitled "Eternal Destiny," and I think it's a pretty cool topic, or good name. You can actually write a book. It's quite a flash title that I've chosen, but I've just realized personally that so much of my focus is on the temporary. And not just what I do from 8 to 5 in the mornings, but my life with Christ is a very temporary thing. You know, my prayer life is focused on the temporary. And my, just the desires and the things that I chase after are very temporary. And a lot of times one forgets that God is an eternal God. And our life here is basically very short. And it's quite important what happens afterwards. And that subject gets chased a lot with a lot of fear. There's a lot of, you know, we try to hide away from it or scrum weg van die ding, because it can be a fearful thing to think what's going to happen in eternity, because at the end of the day, there are only two places we can go. There's point A, which is heaven and ruling and reigning with Christ and walking with the Father. And there's point B, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it sounds pretty terrible, so we kind of block it out and we stay in the temporary. So this morning... I just feel that the Lord wants us to just change focus a little bit and just to look up, to take our minds and our thoughts and just for a second think eternally. And therefore, I've entitled Eternal Destiny, because at the end of the day, I don't believe in fate. I believe that we all have a destiny. And the difference between fate and destiny is fate, you have no choice. Destiny, you have a choice. We choose. End of the day, we choose what happens and where we want to go. And the amazing thing with God is He is a gracious God, and He gives us warnings and He gives us encouragement and He gives us direction and He gives us all the tools, but He doesn't enforce us. He still gives us the choice. So go with me to Matthew 25, parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. So the master understands who his servants are and what they can handle. And therefore, it's important to know that he gave everyone according to each to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled account with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and bought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. Now you can imagine this guy has been excited for his master to come back, because he knows he's done well. He has his little sales report in his hand and he's excited to share what he's done with his master, because he knows his master and he knows that there will be reward in what he's done. And therefore the Lord said, His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Same with the guy that had 2 talents. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground." And you can see the difference in attitude. This guy was sweating. He was not looking forward to his master to come back because he understood his master to be an angry, fearful man. And therefore he went and he dug it in the ground and he bought a box of tin food and he hid and he waited for him to come back. So you can see the difference in attitude where the guy that understood his master, he went and he did what he knew what to do. It was an automatic thing. And the other guy went and he dug in the hole because he experienced fear, whereas the other one was excited to see the return. "Look, they have what is yours." And he said, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter seed. So you ought to have despised my money. I deposited my money with a bank, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, basically, most of you have heard the story of the talents. And what it comes down to is the master is Jesus. That comes to all of us. And he gives us according to our own ability. And he gives us our time on earth. You know, if you're lucky, 80 years, maybe 20, it doesn't matter. End of the day, he will come back. Whether you get hit by a bus, he's coming back that instant in your life, or whether you make it to 80, there's no difference. End of the day, we are all given talents according to our own ability. And we choose what to do with these talents. And we know that if we've done well and we've been good and faithful, then we can be excited for the Lord to come back. But if we are scared and we are worried, then it is what it is. There's only 2 places we can go. And this is where I can stop and say, but this is easy then, because we all know what's going to happen. So why don't we all go home now, drink tea, go home, and change our lives and sort everything out and become faithful servants. Because it's as easy as that, isn't it? But the problem is, we are flesh, we are sinful beings, we are flesh and spirit, and therefore it's easier said than done. So, I don't know if you guys have gotten this email. It's quite cheesy, but it's actually quite a good allergy. It's this grandfather that sits with his grandson, and he says to him, "You know, grandson, there's a furious fight going on inside of me. It's a fight between 2 wolves. And his grandson says to him, "But Pops, just explain the story." He says, there's one wolf which is good and beautiful, and he's love and peace and joy and gentleness, and it's just all good. And there's another wolf which is evil and bad, and he brings darkness and destruction and death, and he's just an absolute pit. And he says, this war's going on, and it's raging his whole life. And the grandson says to the grandfather, "But grandfather, which wolf is winning? You know, he's excited. He wants to know what's the score." And his grandfather says to him, "You know, my son, the wolf that I feed is the one that will win. If I feed the bad one, he's going to win. Feed the good one, he's going to win." And it's the same what the words is in Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, etc., etc., jealousy, fits of rage, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's the key for me. End of the day, once again, we can choose what do we feed. Are we feeding the Spirit or are we feeding the flesh? And as the Lord says, you know, sometimes it's a bit daunting. You think, but Jesus, please don't come back this week or this month. Give me a gap. But at the end of the day, there should be freedom in that. And the Lord says, if we feed the Spirit, if we feed what is good, we will be in step with the Spirit. And therefore, we will be led by the Spirit. And that will give us peace. That will give us joy and an excitement for the King to come back. It's not what we do, what we, you know, strive to do. It's more a thing of what we choose to do. God will bring the increase, and He will, by His grace, He will lead us. But it's still a fight that we have. And no, not one of the wolves is going to die. You know what I mean? The one you can choke and you can strangle him and not give him food, and the other one will be strong. And end of the day, that is because we are flesh in this time. That is our lot. And especially for us these days, and I think the modern day fight, in a sense, it's a more subtle thing where the Satan comes in and he wants to distract us. He wants to distract us from what's important in life. And it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. And if one is honest, that is one of the biggest distractions for us. And it doesn't mean, please don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean pack up your bags, go to Somalia and become a, you know, chingalapi, you know. Leave everything and go live in the bush and think you now you're doing God's work. It's about a mindset, and it's about where our focus is. If our focus and our desire is to build a treasure on earth where moth and vermin can destroy, that is our own issue. But the Lord says to us, lift your eyes and focus on what is good. Seek ye first His kingdom in everything we do. If you're an accountant, stay an accountant. But seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom day to day from 8 to 5. Do a good job. Don't be one of those oaks that walks around and, you know, sends out these cheesy emails the whole day. Do your job. Do a good job. Bring glory to God. But change your focus. What drives you? Because at the end of the day, you can only serve one or the other. And back to choice, is ours to choose. We choose to serve God or serve the world and serve man. And it's a point where we need to get honest with ourselves. Everyone has to get honest because it's a subtle thing. And none of your friends will say to you, listen, pal, you're working way too hard. You're making way too much money. I think, you know, you should stop working. Whatever. It's not one of those things. It's a thing of you can be the most successful guy in the world or you can live in a shack. But it's about the desire of your heart. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. And therefore, the Lord says to us, we need to put on a new man. We need to clothe ourselves with a new man. We've been risen with Christ. And since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And that's basically what Paul says in Colossians. He says, set your minds, your thoughts, your daily thoughts on things that are above. And it's not a big philosophical thing that I'm saying. It's a choice that we take in the day. It's a choice we take in the mornings. Are we going to be worried and bogged down with this world? Yes, it's a reality. But where's our heart? Where's our mind? What are we seeking first? For you died in your life. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, etc. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as they are anger, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. It isn't choice. Put on is an action. And I just feel that the Lord saying to us, you know, we love to blame other things. You know, one day we're going to stand before the God. We're standing there alone. You can't say, yeah, but my wife wasn't, you know, she didn't believe. So it was a struggle and it didn't happen. We're all responsible for our own lives. You know, do we want to go forward? Do we want to stay back? Where's our focus? What are we What are we eating? What food are we taking in? Spiritual food and sometimes normal food. So for me, it's just the message that the Lord wants to bring to us is we can choose. Whether you 10 years old, 8 years old, we can still choose. The Master hasn't come and taken an account yet. So the choice is ours. And I think what the Lord wants to say to us is we must be expectant and excited for His coming. For when He comes and takes an account of us, I think there needs to be an excitement. There's always such a heaviness and a bit of, you know, unsure and so forth. I think the Lord honestly wants to set us free in that. He wants us to be excited and to know that we've been good and faithful servants for what He's given us. We don't have to compare ourselves. I don't have to compare myself to Carol or to, you know, to you or whatever. We do what you have to do in your own life. And it's not a selfish, I'm an island thing. It's more a thing of you take responsibility of your choices in life. Because God is gracious to us, and I believe that He sends on our way, He'll send tests, warnings, reminders. And in Matthew 19, the story of the rich young ruler, where just when a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" So this guy knew that there's something more, there is eternal life. And Jesus will probably give him the answer. He's the right guy to ask. And Jesus said, "Why do you ask about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandment." "Which ones?" So the guy asked, "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." So he's got a list. This guy's ticked them off. And he says to Jesus, "All these I have kept." But he still knows that there's something missing. Because it's more of a religious thing, ticking off your boxes and thinking you're excited and it's going to happen. But he knew, so that's why he asked, "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, and Jesus obviously has insight. Jesus, he is God, so he understands where our hearts are. He understands where all our hearts are. He understands where our barriers and what pulls us down and what keeps us from Him. It's not a judgmental thing that Jesus does. When he says to him here, and Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So for me, it's just a picture of, it's not about the money or his great wealth. It's more of where his heart was. Because this guy's question was a serious question. He said, "Jesus, how do I get eternal life?" He understood his question. It wasn't someone that said to me like me this morning, "There's eternity, blah, blah, blah." He understood that the day he pegs, when he's going, there's eternal life. And he asked Jesus, the bright guy, he says, "Lord, what must I do? You know, I've ticked off all the boxes, but I know there's something missing." And Jesus says to him, "Sell what you have, give to the poor, follow me." And he couldn't make that decision. And if you think about it, it's actually quite scary, because if you understand that he's only, maybe this rich young ruler, maybe he's 30. He's got 30 years left. And then his eternity. And here's Jesus saying to him, "Listen, pal, you can be one of my disciples. You can follow me here. You can be part of the story. Just sell what you've got, i.e. get rid of what's holding you back. Get rid of what entangles you. Sell it, forget about it, and follow me." And he couldn't do it. So if you think about it, it's not just a thing of shame, peace, lachat. It's a serious thing. And I think everyone will be asked this question. Because God is gracious, every one of us will have a time where God will challenge us and say, "Listen, if you desire to have eternal life, leave this, leave that dream that you have, which is false, which is so mingled up in material and earthly things, and leave it and follow me." And once again, God is gracious. And he says to him, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So, it's not a thing to embrace fearfully, because with God all things are possible. And maybe you guys that are more clued up than me, but I understand that this rich young ruler did make a decision later, and he was, who was he? Who was that? Okay, JP, that's his fault if that's wrong. But he did make the decision. So I'm sure that he went home and he ate basef. He realized, listen, this is, what was I thinking? Jesus just said to me, follow me. You can be part of the gang. Just leave your baggage and follow me. And he didn't do it there, but God is gracious. And he gave him another chance and he came back and he was part of the story. JP will tell you all about what he did afterwards. So end of the day, what the Lord is saying to us and what Jesus is saying to us is whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? I don't have to elaborate on that. End of the day, it's a question. You know, every one of us can answer that question ourselves. But I just think that there needs to be a bit of the light needs to be shined. The light must shine on that part of our lives. Because it's pretty important what happens in eternity. Personally, I think it's important. Personally, I'm quite focused on what's going to happen in eternity because it's a long time and there's a good place and there's a horrible place to go. And I think what comes with that is with the Lord's help, as he says, by man is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There comes a sense of contentment and a sense of freedom once we've rid ourselves of these things. And 1 Timothy 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So once again, I don't believe that God's saying, don't be successful. Like I said at the beginning, let's just be mature about this. But what he is saying is that there's a subtle effect that Satan brings in once we start to desire money. And once the evil wolf takes over and he's fed more. You know, if we spend all our energy and all our time on your company or your work or your job, and you don't have any time for your family and any time for you know, anything that has anything to do with the gospel, and you are well blessed by that financially, I'm telling you, it's probably not God blessing you. If you understand what I'm saying, you know, what are the fruit? What's the fruit end of the day of your life? What's the fruit of your work and your job and what you do and what you spend your day doing? That is what we'll be judged by. And God says that the vine without good fruit will be cut off. He's going to prune and he's going to cut. So we can now sit and see what is the fruit of my passion and what motivates me. Is it godly or is it satanic? It sounds pretty bad. Is it from God or is it from the devil? So if you find yourself that you are already wealthy, don't be alarmed. It's a good thing. We are all of us here in the probably 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. So he says to us all sitting here, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So, Lord says to us, where we are now, what we're doing now, there it is. You know, that's a start. That's a good start. Don't go and sell everything, go to Somalia. Start here. Be kind. Be generous. And store up treasure in heaven because it lays a foundation. I'm not sure how this works, but we're all going to get to heaven and surely one of us is going to have a better house and a car than the other one. I don't know how it works. there's obviously not jealousy there, so it should be fine. But people are storing things up in heaven, and we all have the opportunity to do that. So what it comes down to is, once again, is choice. And like I said before, we are no man is an island, and God has never intended us all to shack up and do our own thing and just make sure that we are sorted out. Because the Lord says in many parts of the Word, He says we are a body and Christ is the head, and everyone has his part to play. And if all of us are effective in that part that He has entrusted us, then the body will start to become effective. It won't be top heavy or bottom heavy or pear shaped. It'll be an effective tool for us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts, and I see this as a part of the talents we've been received. Every one of us here has a different gift. Therefore, don't compare yourself, but know what your gift is. Ask someone, what do they think is your gift? Because it's usually the best way. And this is also a way to start. You know, don't, once again, if you want to go to Somalia, you're fine to do it. But I didn't tell you to go. Each member belongs to all other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I think, we, like I said, we all have gifts. And the purpose, I believe, and I hope you agree with me, of church and is not this, is not a Sunday. This is maybe just a time where we all can come together, recollect, hear a message, you know, just come into agreement and then move out and be church out there, be the body out there. Because if this is what you want church to be semi-entertained, to just cover yourselves, tick that box, then it's a problem. And it's not all doom and gloom. I'm just saying that maybe you should just rethink your reasoning. We'll pray for you at the end of the day, because God wants us to have life and life in abundance, not on a Sunday. He wants us to be overcomers outside, not in church. Put on our little mask and you know, do the show, say the right things, try not to swear. You know what I mean? So God wants us to be overcomers in the world in 9 to 5, Monday to Sunday. So, and I think another important thing at the end of the day is that we need to realize that we are in a war. The reason that Bad Wolf always comes back is because he's being fed from the back. It's not because God is spirit, there's eternity. There's also the devil and his schemes and his plans. And if he can diffuse the body of Christ, if he can make us think, A, that we all find sitting here on a Sunday is enough, then he's won. He'll be happy to have 5,000 people in a church that is ineffective. Because as long as he can diffuse the church, he's done his job. And therefore, Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So we know that the devil has schemes. If your life is a life where there's always one thing bothering you, if you feel that you can't come out of a cycle of poverty, or there's depression in your life, or you need to understand that this is a satanic thing. This is the devil and his schemes, and he's hanging on to you. And you need to understand that God has given us the authority to break those things. And we as a body can do that. We can build each other up and encourage each other. And that's why the Lord's given us all gifts. And He's made us able, and He's given us tools. If one is weak, the next picks him up. And that is what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an entity in a living thing that moves and operates. And it's supposed to be a place where people come in that are broken and they can be healed, and there's change. If there's no change in lives, then we are ineffective. And then it means that this devil's schemes are working against us. And if it's your own life, or if it's the church, or if it's the nation, it doesn't matter. It goes throughout the board. For the Lord says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I just want to read that again, because once again, I think in the Western Church, we love to ignore that there's that part. Because we embrace it fearfully. We're scared. You know, don't say demon in church because people freak out and they say, no. It doesn't happen anymore. It is a reality. Because it's, once again, it's in here. And if you want to go and pull out a couple of pages, that's your own issue. But we mustn't be scared to share these things. We must be, my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. We must understand these things. And we can drink milk for the first, how long is a baby drinking milk? 12 months, maybe a couple of years. But you need to start eating. You know, you haven't made a steak yet. And that is what we need to move into, a level of maturity. And it's not an age thing. It's a, once again, a choice that we take. We can't go through life like this. And that's why the Lord warns us. And that's why he says to us, listen, people, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Once again, sorry, I'm going on a tangent. If you have an issue with your mother-in-law and you're always fighting, or with your husband, then understand that it's 10-1, the devil working in that. And he wants to break relationship. He wants to come in and, you know, you're always blaming other people, but it's usually the devil that comes in. He brings in these little foxes, and it just brings division. And if the fruit of that is offense and unforgiveness and so on, then he's winning. You need to just understand and say, wait a minute, maybe what's going on is not that person. Maybe the issues that I have with everyone is not their fault. Maybe it's just attacks coming, and it's the devil's schemes. And the Lord says you can take authority. Just wake up, open your eyes, and take authority. Don't be scared of it. Don't run away. And if you're not sure, ask someone. Ask someone that looks like they know something. Ask someone that's been through something. That's usually a good thing. If you're not married, then don't give advice to someone that's going through marital issues. Do you know what I mean? Once again, it's logic. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Meaning, the arrows will come. The arrows are on their way. So, we need to pick up this armor. We need to put it around us. We need to clothe ourselves. We need to be accountable to our friends and to the church and to leaders. We need to focus. Which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. I think what Paul is basically saying is, guys, we're in a war. And whoever wins the war, the result will be an eternal result. If I know there's a war going on for my brother or my cousin or whatever, and I sit and do nothing about it, that result will be an eternal result. And once again, it's not something to be, you know, it's not doom and gloom. It's just reality. Whoever wins this war is winning an eternal thing, and we choose that. End of the day, that's why I called it eternal destiny, because we all have an eternal destiny. And God's heart for us is to be called good and faithful servants. But God is not an enforcer. He is someone that gives us choice. And therefore, this morning, I think individually and as a group and as a church, we need to wake up and focus. We need to lift our eyes and focus on things that are above and heavenly. And just for a second, take our eyes off what's going on here and our daily struggles and daily issues. Those are all going to come. God never committed himself to magic. God is not a magician. He's not going to come with a wand and say, ping, Achatya, you know, now you sorted, nothing will ever hit you again. The fire darts will come, the storms will come, but are you ready for it? Are we focused for it? Have we built our foundation on solid ground? Or are we still, after 10 years, after 3 years, after 5 years, after having heard the messages of it, after having been informed, are we still ignorant to it? Or don't we believe in God? Because that's the other question. Do we really believe in God, or is this just a little flaky religion that we prefer to do on a Sunday? You know, if you have to choose between being a Buddhist and a Christian, there's no temple, I go to church. So we need to decide these things, and we need to go home and think about it, and we need to ask our friends to be honest with us. So this morning I'm going off track. I'm not going to have a conclusion. You know, I'm going against what the website say, how you must set up a sermon. Because I believe that if we come here every Sunday to receive information, go home, maybe process half of it, and so on, and if there's no change, then that's dead. I think what the Lord is saying, that you are the master of your own conclusion. You are the master of your own destiny. You choose where you want to go, and He has equipped us to go. He has equipped us to be called good and faithful servants according to our own ability. So this morning, I don't want to close off with anything more than a question. And I think, like as I said, I think this is a message. I think God has laid this on our hearts. And it is a valid question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. So I want to, if you guys can just stand for me. And if you're, you know, the reason I'm also saying this morning is because these are the questions I have to ask myself. You know, I have to ask myself, am I excited for God to return tomorrow, or am I a little bit worried? It's like if you haven't done enough work for a test, you're nervous before that thing comes, and you're hoping to scrape through. If I can just get predicate 40, I'm happy. If I get 41, it's a bonus. But I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in a way where I'm always worried that I haven't done what I need to do, because that's not living in freedom. I don't believe that there's peace in that kind of a life. I don't believe that there's joy there. I want to have surety. I want to be relaxed that whatever I'm doing in the day to day is from God, and it's not a work. It's not a struggle what I'm doing. And I know that I'm not the only one with those type of questions, with that type of, I want to stand here because I can't see one. I know that I'm not the only one that wonders these things. And everyone goes through a different life cycle in their life with Christ. But we have that question remains the same. What do we choose? What is your eternal destiny? And is your life on the right track or not? We choose where we go. So this morning, I want to just ask for us to bow our heads. And first of all, if there's anyone that is out of this game, that doesn't understand this, if you realize that you haven't taken the first step, and you haven't given your life over to Christ, you haven't said to Him, Lord, I understand that I'm not where I should be. If you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, and if you want to start off a new life with Christ, then I just want to ask you to come forward and stand on this side, yeah? If there's anyone like that. And secondly, if there's anyone that is coming to a place where you are fearful of the Lord's return, because you're not sure. You're not sure that what you're doing is right. You're not sure where to go. You feel that you're always in a bit of a cycle of destruction, and you feel that this wolf that is evil is always winning. And if you feel that you don't have the Spirit that strengthens you, then I want you also to come forward for prayer. And you, once again, choose. I'm not going to make this an emotional thing. Because we can't be guided by our emotions. We need to be guided by our Spirit and what we know. We need to be fixed on what God has for us. We need to strengthen ourselves. We need to put on that armor. So this morning, that's what I want to pray for. If you feel that you need to come forward, please come forward. I'm going to ask for the small group leaders just to come and help to pray in Yaku and so on. So otherwise, I just want to generally pray for us before you go out. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us choice, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are good to us, Lord, and that you give us peace, Lord, and that you enable us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us courage, Lord. Lord, that you give us courage, Lord, to face our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you will make us true to ourselves, Lord, that we will look at ourselves, Lord, and just be honest with ourselves, Lord. It's so difficult sometimes just to be honest, Lord, and to realize that we are not on the right path, Lord. And Lord, that you don't condemn us for that, Lord, but you are excited for that, Lord. That you love us, Lord. You embrace us, Lord, like a father loves his son, Lord. Like I love my little boy, Lord. I love him, Lord. Doesn't matter what he does, Lord. Lord, and you want only the best for us, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will give us the boldness and the courage, Lord, to be open with each other, Lord. To be transparent, Lord. That if I'm struggling with something, Lord, I can go to a friend, Lord. We can be honest, Lord, and we can break free, Lord, of these things that bog us down, Lord. These things in the world, Lord, that just pull us down the whole time, Lord. I want to come against, Lord, this morning, just speaking death, Lord. Tongues that speak death, Lord. Lord, your word says that life and death lie in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge of it will eat the fruit of it, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will put a guard over our mouths, Lord, not to speak death over our own lives, over other people, Lord, but that it will start to speak life, Lord. Lord, that we'll start to encourage, Lord, and the gifts you've given us, we will start moving in them, Lord. Lord, that we will serve where we want to serve, Lord, prophesy. We will be bold in that, Lord, and we will lead where we need to lead, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will give every person here, Lord, Lord, just that key, Lord, to unlock these gifts, Lord. Lord, the boldness, Lord, to come forward this morning. And therefore, I just want to pray, and I just want to ask you guys, if you want prayer, please come forward. If not, enjoy the tea. Ask yourself this question. I think it's important that we face it. Face it with encouragement. Face it with joy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.